نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد let us continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله. And last time, we had point number 121, a point connected to the rights of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, the Muhajirun and the Ansar, those who were companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just to mention some of the points that we had from the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then we had that they were the best of generations. Those who accompanied Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, supported him, aided him, fought jihad along with him. And Shaykh Fawzan quoted quite a number of ayahs with regard to their virtues. And after mentioning them and explaining them, and he mentioned that the stance of the Muslim with regard to the Sahaba, with regard to companions, is that he must respect them, take them as examples to follow their way, and defend their honour. And that loving them is a part of love of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that having hatred towards them is on account of a person's actually having hatred towards the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the stance of the Muslim, that was the main part of the point, that was that we do not enter into the affairs that occurred between the companions. The events that occurred between the companions after the passing away of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what occurred between them with regard to fighting and the like, that we don't enter into these affairs. And that we know for certain that whatever occurred, then the companions in that regard, their goals were praiseworthy in what they were doing. Their intentions were good. Their goals were praiseworthy. And that they were seeking and striving to attain the truth. And that we hold the stance that whatever occurred in those affairs from the companions, then it's just an affair of a companion, whether he gained one reward or whether he gained two rewards. For the intent of all of them was good and to attain the truth. So the one who had actually attained the truth in those affairs, in those matters, the one who attained the truth, then he receives two rewards. One for striving to attain the truth, and the second reward for actually attaining the truth. And the one who missed out on correctness, then he still gets the one reward of striving to attain correctness in that regard. Referring to the events after the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu, what happened after that, and the fighting that came about, and that the companions did not intend to be fighting, but events happened as were decreed, and events occurred. So as the Shaykh said, so Muslims do not enter into those affairs, into those matters, except to make excuse for the companions and to seek forgiveness for them. And the affair is just as Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that if one of you were to spend the like of Mount Uhud in gold, in charity, it would not reach the hands full of one of them, one of the Sahaba. Showing the great virtue of the companions. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Showing the great virtue of the companions, and that anyone who came after them could not attain anything like their virtue. Even if a person who came after them gave the whole amount of Uhud, that amount in gold, it would not equal the amount given by a handful of the companion in wheat or barley or dates or whatever he gives. Amount of gold like Uhud given by somebody else would not equal what they gave because of their status and their virtue. And likewise, we don't declare any one of the companions to have been upon error. Rather, we seek forgiveness for them. Just as the believers seek forgiveness for those who came before them from the believers, as occurs in the ayah from Surah Al-Hashr. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The end of the ayah. The explanation that the supplication that the believers make is, O our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us upon Iman, upon having true faith. And don't place any hatred in our hearts towards those who have already believed. So that is the supplication of the believers. And then finally, Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned that there are some people these days who give talks and record lectures discussing these affairs of fighting that occurred between the companions in an unbefitting manner. And he mentioned that this will only occur from one of two people. Either a person who is jahil, is ignorant, or a person who has an evil intent in doing so. The evil intention of propagating hatred towards the companions. Radiallahu anhu. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he followed this with the point that occurs here in volume 2, page 145, occurring as point number 122. So Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَأَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ مَالُ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ إِلَّا بِطِيبَةٍ مِّنْ نَفْسِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَعَ رَجُلٍ مَالٌ حَرَامٌ فَقَدْ ضَمِنَهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ فَإِنَّهُ عَسَى أَنْ يَتُوبَ هَذَا فَيُرِيدُ أَنْ يُرُدَّهُ عَلَى أَرْبَابِهِ فَأَخَذْتَ حَرَامًا. He said, rahimahullah, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that the wealth of a Muslim is not permissible to take, except for that which he gives willingly. And if a man has some wealth that was illegally acquired, then he is responsible for it. It is not permissible for anyone to take anything from him except with his permission. So perhaps he will repent and wish to restore it to its rightful owner. And you will have taken something unlawful. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, his saying, وَأَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ مَالُ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ إِلَّا بِطِيبَةٍ مِّنْ نَفْسِهِ. And you should know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that the wealth of a Muslim is not permissible to take, except for that which he gives willingly. Himself is pleased to give it. Sheikh Fawzan said, a part of the respect that is to be shown to the Muslims is to respect their blood and their wealth and to respect their honour. Since whoever accepts Islam, then he has safeguarded his blood on account of Islam, and he has safeguarded his wealth, and he has safeguarded his honour. So therefore it is not permissible to transgress against the Muslim. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. He, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, all of the Muslim, to the Muslim, is forbidden. His blood, and his wealth, and his honour. In the footnote they mentioned, reported by Muslim in his Sahih, that's hadith number 2564 from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Fawzan quotes a further evidence. He said, and he, referring to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, in his khutbah, in his address, during the farewell Hajj, إن دماءكم وأموالكم وأعراضكم حرام عليكم كحرمة يومكم هذا. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his khutbah, his address on the farewell Hajj, your blood and your wealth and your honor is forbidden for you to take. Just like the sanctity of this day of yours. The Shaykh said, meaning Yawm al-Nahr, the day of sacrifice. Fi shaharikum hadha, in this month of yours. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the 12th and last month, the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Fi baladikum hadha, in this land of yours. The Shaykh said, and it was ennobled Makkah, Makkah the Honourable. In the footnote they mentioned, this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 67 and Muslim as hadith 1679 from a hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan commented and said, so the blood of the Muslim and his wealth and his honour is forbidden. So it is not permissible to transgress against the wealth of the Muslim, nor to take it, except for what the Muslim is himself pleased to give. So if he gives permission regarding something from his wealth, then it is permissible. But as for taking it from him by force, or without his being pleased, without his giving it willingly, or seizing it from him, or stealing it, or obtaining it by treachery, then it is haram, it is forbidden. Just like the forbiddance of his blood and his honour. And this is just as occurs in his saying, He the Most High, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 188, with the explanation, and do not devour each other's wealth unjustly. He said, and his saying, He the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ بَيْنَكُمْ أَوْ عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ, Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 29. With the explanation, O you who believe, do not devour your wealth amongst yourselves, do not devour each other's wealth unjustly, except upon the basis of trade, which is mutually agreed between you. Sheikh Fawzan said, many of the people do not care about this. Either he will kill his brother Muslim to take his wealth, or he will take his wealth by stealing it, by highway robbery, by treachery, by deception in buying and selling. So he does not care about this. So he will take the property of his brother unjustly, without his giving it willingly. All of this is haram, is forbidden, and is a kabira, is a major sin from the major sins. And he said, he's saying, وَإِنْ كَانَ مَعَ رَجُلٍ مَالٌ حَرَامٌ فَقَدْ ضَمِنَهُ, and if there is some wealth with a person which he has obtained illegally, then he is responsible for it. Sheikh Fawzan said, if he takes the wealth of his brother unjustly in any of the forms of taking it, in any manner of it, taking it, then he becomes responsible for it until he gives it back to its rightful person. Since things which have been taken unjustly must be restored to their people before death. Otherwise their people will take revenge on the oppressor on the day of resurrection. They will take recompense from his good deeds, to the extent that perhaps no good deed will remain for him. And then evil deeds will be taken from those who are oppressed and placed upon him, and he will be thrown into the fire on Allah's refuge sword. In someone who has wronged someone, taken his wealth and the like in this life, and if it's not dealt with in this life, then Yawm al-Qiyamah it will be dealt with. That the one who has wronged and taken the wealth, good deeds will be taken from him and given to those whom he wronged. And if the good deeds run out, then evil deeds will be taken from those whom he wronged and put upon him, and therefore resulting in the fact that he's only got no good deeds left, only evil deeds upon him, and he's thrown into the fire. Allah's refuge is sought. Then the Shaykh said, so the wealth of the Muslim, whether you take it by seizing it, or by means of a forbidden transaction, or you take it by force, or by stealing, then it will be a responsibility which you have to give back, either in this world, or if not, then in the hereafter. So pay attention to that. It will be something which you are held responsible for, and it must be paid back in this world or in the hereafter. And paying it back in this world will be easier for you than giving it back in the hereafter. And the Shaykh said, he's saying, فَإِنْهُ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَتُوبَ هَذَا فَيُرِيدُ أَنْ يَرُدَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَرْبَابِهِ فَأَخَذْتَ حَرَامًا. So perhaps he may wish to repent and thus want to restore it to its rightful owners, but you will have taken it from him. I mean, you will have taken something forbidden. He's illegally acquired this wealth, and then you take something from him, maybe he'll repent for what he did originally or want to give it back, but he can't because you've taken it. As the Shaykh said, and you will have taken something forbidden. Shaykh Fawzan said, so it is not permissible that you take anything which you know to have been forbidden, haram. And it will be a case of forbidden earnings because of a number of matters. Firstly, the Shaykh mentions three reasons why that will be illegal earnings for you. Forbidden earnings. If you take some of that forbidden wealth from him, it will be forbidden earnings for you on account of reasons. He mentions three reasons. Firstly, that you know that it is haram, it is forbidden. So then how can you make it permissible when you know that it is something forbidden and that this person does not truly own it? Secondly, if this wrongdoer repents and he wants to return the wealth, then you have taken it from him. Then he will not be able to return it. Thirdly, that you will be one who is sharing with him in the crime and in the oppression. And that's where Shaykh Fawzan ends explanation of this point. Just very briefly, before moving on, then Shaykh Saleh al-Suhaimi Hafidhullah, he mentioned at this point, he mentioned some speech, and from that he mentioned the importance of sticking to that which is lawful and keeping away from that which is forbidden, and that doing so is a reason for supplication to be answered, and that indulging in that which is forbidden is a reason for supplication to be withheld and not answered. And he gave the evidence, Shaykh al-Suhaymi mentioned the evidence, he said, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, make supplication to Allah that Allah should make me one whose supplications are answered. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make your food lawful, then you'll be one whose supplications are answered. Shaykh Saimi commented and said, meaning keep away from forbidden things. Keep away from forbidden things, and then you will be one whose supplications are answered. As for the next point, point number 123, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْمَكَاسِبُ مَا بَانَ لَكَ صِحَّتُهُ فَهُوَ مُطْلَقٌ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ فَسَادُهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ فَاسِدًا يَأْخُذُ مِنَ الْفَسَادِ مَمْسَكَةَ نَفْسِهِ وَلَا تَقُولْ أَتْرُكُ الْمَكَاسِبَ وَآخُذُ مَا أَعْطَوْنِي لم يفعل هذا الصحابة ولا العلماء إلى زماننا هذا. وقال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه كسب فيه بعض الدنيا خير من الحاجة إلى الناس. Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله, he said, and means of earning whose correctness is clear to you are permissible, except for that whose corruptness becomes apparent. And if it is corrupt, then he takes from that which is corrupt the amount sufficient to sustain himself. And you should not say, I shall abandon all earnings and just take what people will give to me. The companions did not do this, nor the scholars up to this time of ours. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, earnings of which a part is from a lowly source are better than being in need of the people. Shaykh al-Fawzan hafidhullah, he said, and just before actually moving into the explanation, with regard to the narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they mention the footnote here, this is reported, this report from Umar radiallahu anhu is reported by Ibn Abi Dunya in the book Islah al-Mal. And some of the others who have done footnotes to the different editions of Sharh al-Sunnah, they mention it's also reported by Ibn Hibban in his book At-Thiqat, and Ibn Abdul Barr in his book At-Tamheed, and that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar mentions it in Fath al-Bari, and that he remains silent about it. And Khalid al-Radadi mentioned in his footnotes that its chain of narration, isnaduhu la ba'sa bihi, its chain of narration is alright. As for the explanation, then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said on this point, he's saying, وَالْمَكَاسِبُ مَا بَانَ لَكَ صِحَّتُهُ فَهُوَ مُطْلَقٌ, and means of earning whose correctness is clear to you are permissible. He said, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna al-halal bayyin wa inna al-harama bayyin wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihat la ya'lamuhunna kathirun minan nas faman ittaqa ash-shubuhat فَقَدْ اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَإِرْضِهِ. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that which is lawful is clear, and that which is forbidden is clear, and between the two of them are matters which are unclear. Many of the people do not know them. So whoever keeps away from the doubtful matters, then he has safeguarded his religion and his honour. In the footnote, they mentioned, reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. You'll find it in the Sahih of al-Bukhari, hadith number 52. And reported by Muslim, it's hadith 1599. From a hadith of al-Nu'man ibn Bashir, radiallahu anhumah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, having quoted this hadith, so that which is lawful, halal, that which is clear, that which is clearly lawful, may be taken. Because the underlying principle with regard to dealings is that they are permissible. Unless it becomes clear that it is something forbidden. He said, and likewise, that which is forbidden is made has been made clear. He, the Most High, said, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 3, with the explanation. There has been made forbidden for you carrion, dead meat, dead animals, animals that have died unslaughtered, and blood, and the flesh of swine, meat of pigs, and that which is slaughtered for other than Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and likewise lotteries and gambling and khamr, intoxicants, this is forbidden by the text of the Quran. As a side point, you'll find the like of that in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, ayahs 90 to 91. So as the Shaykh said, then lotteries, gambling, intoxicants, this is forbidden by the text of the Quran. And likewise the prohibition of stealing and robbing and devouring the wealth of the people unjustly, this is clearly forbidden. And that which is unclear, which may not be known about, whether it is lawful or forbidden, because of the fact that the evidences counter each other, then regarding this, a person should withhold until it becomes clear. This is the principle laid down by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is an apparent and clear principle. And this is the meaning of the saying of the author here, illa ma dhahara fasaduhu, except for that whose corruption becomes apparent. Then he said, he's saying, وَإِنْ كَانَ فَاسِدًا يَأْخُذُ مِنَ الْفَسَادِ مَمْسَكَةَ نَفْسِهِ. And if it is something corrupt, then he may take from that which is corrupt, some of the versions it has, مِنَ الْفَاسِدِ, then he may take from that which is corrupt enough to just sustain himself. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the issue of ad-darura. This is the issue of dire necessity. So if a person fears for himself that he will die if he doesn't eat, then he should eat from what he has. Enough that will sustain his life, even if it is from the wealth of someone else besides him. And even if this is wealth which is forbidden, even if it is mata, carrion, in unslaughtered meat, or the like, or other than that, he should eat from it on account of the dire necessity, the darura, so that he does not die. He, the Most High, said, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 173. With the explanation, He has only forbidden for you, Allah the Most High has only forbidden for you, carrion, unslaughtered meat, and blood, and the flesh of swine, pig meat, and that which has been slaughtered for other than Allah. So whoever is in a case of dire necessity, not seeking after it, and not going beyond the limit, then there will be no sin upon him. Indeed, Allah forgives extensively and is merciful. Shaykh Fawzan said, so therefore you take from the haram, you take from that which is forbidden, that which will sustain your life for you. Then you withhold from the rest. And he said, وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 119, with the explanation. And he, Allah the Most High, has clearly explained whatever he has made forbidden for you. Except what you come to be in dire need of. Shaykh Fawzan said, so there is no forbiddance along with dire need. فَلَا حَرَامَ مَعَ ضُرُورَ There is no forbiddance along with dire need. Then he said, he's saying, وَلَا تَقُولُ أَتْرُكُ الْمَكَاسِبْ وَآخُذُ مَا أَعْطَوْنِي And do not say, I will leave off all forms of earning and I will just take whatever they give to me. Shaykh Fawzan said, some people say, I am mutawakkil, I am depending upon Allah. I will just sit down for worship and for seeking knowledge, and the people will give to me. This is not permissible. Rather, it is upon you to seek provision that will suffice you, and suffice your wife, and your children, and whoever is in your house. It is upon you to seek provision. And this is a part of ibadah. This is a part of worship. So do not sit hoping for the charity of the people. Rather, it is upon you to seek provision. Allah the Majestic and Most High said, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 197. With the explanation, and take provision. And indeed the best of provision is taqwa, dutifulness to Allah. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, لَمْ يَفْعَلْ هَذَا الصَّحَابَةُ وَلَا الْعُلَمَاءُ إِلَى زَمَانِنَا هَذَا The companions did not do this, nor did the scholars, up to this time of ours. He said, this action, which is to sit and not seek provision, and to look to what the people have in their hands, this was not done by anyone. So this action was not done, which is to sit, meaning to sit and not seek provision, and to look for what the people have in their hands, this was not done by anyone from the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were the ones who were the most dutiful to Allah from the people. Indeed, they were the greatest worshippers of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, from the people. Rather, they were people of work. There were amongst them farmers, and there were amongst them traders who performed trade, buying and selling. And from them was Abu Bakr, and from them was Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and from them was Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and from them was Uthman ibn Affan. They were people of property. They would buy and sell. And they were the most noble ones from the companions. And they used to spend in charity in Allah's cause. And they used to equip armies from their own wealth. they did not abandon seeking provision. So Abu Bakr used to buy and sell, and he used to assist Allah's Messenger, since Allah sent him as a prophet in Mecca. And he aided him from his own wealth, radiallahu anhu, in his famous stances. He would feed the needy, and he would buy slaves who were being tortured, and he would set them free, such as Bilal and other than him. He did not leave off earning and say, I will just sit and worship Allah, and I am from the companions of Allah's Messenger. Then Shaykh Fawzan finished by saying, he's saying, وَقَالَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَسْبٌ فِيهِ بَعْضُ الدَّنِيَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْحَاجَةِ إِلَى النَّاسِ. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, earning which has within it something from a lowly source is better than having need of the people. Shaykh Fawzan said, so you're carrying out a trade which is a lowly trade, something lowly, something looked down upon. Dana'a, it has something within it, lowly, or something people look down upon. So you're carrying out a trade which has something lowly within it, such as hijama, such as cupping, that you take from it wages, which you spend upon yourself, is better than begging from the people and lowering oneself to them. And that's where Shaykh Fawzan ends explanation on this point. And so just finally, with a small side point, or 2 points. Firstly, Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he said in explanation, he said, I say, the meaning of this speech is that you do not withhold from lawful earning, even if it contains something lowly. Rather, earning from an occupation, which is a lowly occupation, will be better for you than begging from the people. And earning which has something lowly in it refers to that which has things within it which some people count as being lowly, such as cupping, hijama, and such as the job of the barber, the haircutter, whatever they call him these days, the barber, and selling certain things which are regarded as being lowly, as long as it is not haram, forbidden. So the believer should say, earning which contains something lowly is better than having a need of the people. And then the Shaykh said, a point of note, that which is permissible, lawful, for you to earn from. As for his saying that he can take from that which is corrupt, enough to support himself, then the meaning of that is that he can take from that which is corrupt that which will sustain his life if he has a dire need of it, such as carrion, dead meat, unslaughtered meat. And whatever is beyond that, then it is not permissible for you to draw near it. He's saying, and do not say, I will leave off earning and just take whatever they give me. The Shaykh said, meaning, it's not permissible for you to leave off earning just on account of the fact that it is something which may demean you, may lower you, and that instead you beg of the people. Rather, take from lawful earning whatever will retain your self-respect from the people and from begging from them, even if that is something which demeans you somewhat. He said, he's saying, whatever it becomes clear to you that it's lawful, then that is permissible. Meaning it's lawful. And it is permissible for you to earn from it and to pursue it. Allah is the one who grants success. And finally, a point that Shaykh Salih al-Suhaimi, hafidhahullah, made, on this point he also mentioned the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, radiallahu anhuma, that the lawful is clear, and that which is forbidden is clear, and between them, the hadith that we had in the chapter, Shaykh al-Suhaimi said, so the underlying principle in affairs is permissibility. whether it be things that you eat, or things that you wear, or things that you drink, or transport, things that you ride, or possessions. The underlying principle with regard to them is permissibility, until there comes a text to forbid it from the legislation. So if there comes a text prohibiting it, then it is binding to stop. And likewise, whatever leads to something which is corrupt will itself be corrupt. And then he gave an example. He said, an example of that is selling weapons to the disbelievers. So selling weapons itself is something lawful. However, if you sell to the disbelievers so that they can fight with them against the Muslims, then it becomes something forbidden. And another example of that is with regard to selling dates or selling grapes. Then it is something permissible. But if you sell them to someone about whom it is known that he is going to make wine from them, then it becomes forbidden. And everything which results from something corrupt is itself corrupt. And everything which leads to something corrupt, then it is likewise corrupt. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانه اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك